a special opportunity crept up yesterday afternoon when the J.B. Pritzker campaign called me and said, would you like to meet J.B. Pritzker? And I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, ma'am, actually. J.B., it's good to meet you.
Good to meet you, Tom.
Do I call you Mr. Pritzker, J.B., or do I call you Jay?
Please call me J.B. My father was Mr. Pritzker.
There you
go. I'm just J.B.
You know, this is interesting because a man who, was it $5 or $7 million you put in your campaign very first thing when you decided to run?
Right.
Five or seven?
Well, not the very first thing, but yeah, we put $7 million into our campaign.
Yeah, because you had done the exploratory committee and things along
exactly.
that line. And, you know, a number of my friends last time talking on the phone, and they go, who are you talking to tomorrow? I said, well, you know, this new opportunity, J.B. Pritzker, you know, tomorrow morning about 8:30. Every one of them said, who's J.B. Pritzker? Downstate Illinois, that's going to be one of your first things. Who's J.B. Pritzker? I don't want to tell them. Because, see, here's the thing. I can go to a page and say, venture capitalist, entrepreneur, philanthropist, business, a private business owner. But that's not how you decide. That's not how you define yourself. I'll bet good money that that's not how you define yourself internally.
Exactly.
How do you?
Well, let's start with values. You know, I grew up in a home where my dad, mom were building a small business. And so, you know, if you know anybody in a small business, family or home, you know, when you're growing up in it, you're all in. So I grew up in this.
It's free labor.
It's free labor, exactly right. And I did work there for, you know, since I was a really little kid. But you're also, you know, all in. You're talking about the business every day at the dinner table and so on. My parents gave me my first job at the motel, and it was, you know, unloading the, picking up the guest sheets that were dirty and putting them into the washing machine and washing them up and then put them in the dryer. And I remember my mom leaning over to me on the first day that I went to that job, and she said, now remember, you got to work twice as hard as the guy next to you because you didn't earn this job, and he did. And to be honest with you, that's something I think about every day. I've been really lucky. I had great parents, and they were successful in their business. And I grew up being able to go to college and afford to do that and being able to pursue the things that I wanted to, my dreams, really. And I have a great job now. But truthfully, it is every day I wake up thinking about how hard I need to work to earn what I've been given. And that's, you know, that means a lot to me. And I think about that every day, thinking about what I need to do to help the people of Illinois.
And your wife. Talk a bit about her.
Yeah, my wife, my wife is from South Dakota. We met in Washington, D.C.
South Dakota.
South Dakota. Yeah, that's true. And she's just terrific. I got lucky. We've been married for 24 years.
Married up, did you?
I really did. I mean, I think like most guys, smart guys anyway, yeah. I married up and we have two great kids, 14-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son. My daughter's a runner. And she's been, state ranked, and she's all, you know, just great at that. My son is a math whiz, and they're great kids. I've been really lucky.
You know, and I've been reading quite a lot about you and trying to define you internally on how I would think about you. And sure, I could sit here and talk about the amount of money you have. All right. I mean, we're talking about a substantial figure. All right. But that's not, to me, you here in politics. Well, they're in it for the money, not you. You've got money. You don't have to be in Illinois. You don't have to do this at an estimated $3.4 billion in personal wealth as of May 2015. You don't have to do this. You could leave and go anywhere you want. And that leads me to, well, he's not in it for the money. And other people say, well, he's in it for the power. I mean, how do you feel about these comments that are made about you so blatantly? And you say, look, I don't have to do this. I want to do this because, quite frankly, somebody needs to do the job.
Right. Exactly. And this governor's not doing his job. So, look, everything that I care about, everything that I've fought for during my life is under siege by this governor. Let me tell you about a few of those things. So, you know, thousands of kids around the state of Illinois get quality childcare and quality preschool because of the work that I've done. I've been a national advocate and here in Illinois getting those slots available for kids. 55,000 kids in low-income districts around the state of Illinois get school breakfast every single day because I worked with Share Our Strength, which is a national organization, to help bring that money from the federal government into this state to help those kids. More than 50,000 kids a year go to a museum that I helped to build, I was the leader of, that teaches kids to fight bigotry and hatred and intolerance. Those are things that I've done. But here's maybe more important. I've tried to build the economic base of our state because all those things that I've talked about, you've got to have jobs available.
In particular, the technology-based.
Exactly. So I built a technology incubator that's created 6,000 good-paying jobs in the state and brought more than $100 million of capital into the state to support those small
businesses.
Can I
stop you there for a second? For a man who creates 6,000 jobs, I can't imagine, maybe it's just my low character, that I would be I'd be mad if I created 6,000 and the state government is busily kicking people out of the state through their own actions.
Exactly.
To me, I'm bailing the boat out, boys, and you're shooting holes in the bottom of it. Stop.
Right. And that was, by the way, I did that in a nonprofit setting for for-profit companies, right? So those are companies. I don't own those companies. I helped to create those jobs because I thought that was the right thing to do. In my own business, I've created thousands of jobs, too. And this state is kicking our employees. They are kicking everybody in the state, making it more difficult to make, you know, to go to college, for example. I mean, you saw what happened at SIU yesterday with a downgrade of their debt. You know what that does? It makes college less affordable. It makes it more unstable for parents when they look for their kids about going to SIU. It makes them say, I wonder whether that's even going to be there next year or whether those professors or those or other kids are going to go. And you saw there's a drop in enrollment at SIU. This governor is the one who caused that. He's got to go.
Problem is, the Democrats had been in firm control for a number of years prior to Republicans' presence there. Now, granted, back and forth, I think that the state of Illinois' taxpayers and voters have come to the point they don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that I'm desperate to see something done. And other people saying, look, you know, Rauner's been there for 2.5 years, we'll call it. Mike Battingen's been there for over 40 years, and you're saying it's Rauner's fault. There was a reason why Quinn was voted out. And it was because of the way the state was handled. This happened before Rauner.
We've had real challenges, there's no doubt about it, for decades in Illinois that haven't gone addressed. But over the last 40 years, there have been more years of Republican governors with Democratic legislatures than anything else. So this isn't, you know, when you talk about the pension issue in this state, you know, the amortization schedule, that pension plan was put in place in 1995, a Republican governor, Democratic legislature.
Yes.
We're living with the problem of that
today. Decision-making, yes.
But here's the thing. We were in okay shape coming into 2015 to try and address those problems if we had had leadership.
But that was also with a tax that was, you know, remember we had that temporary tax, and that's where a lot of people said, oh, we're getting on the right track, but only at the expense of the people of Illinois.
So that's why I think we got to tax the right people and not the wrong people, right? The middle class and working poor shouldn't be the ones who bear the burden. It ought to be people like me. It ought to be people who are wealthier, who are more capable of paying. It ought to be corporations. We got to get rid of some of the tax breaks that corporations get in this state. And we need to focus on the idea. And I happen to think that we need at least a two-tier, if not more, system of taxation. We need to reform our tax system because middle-class families are getting the shaft. Middle-class families don't have the opportunity to get a good college education for their kids. They're worried about their pensions are going away. They can't get ahead with a job that's going to get them a better pay scale than they've got now. We've got to focus in this state on job creation, on wages, on raising wages, because people have stagnated wages for too many years now. We've got to focus on making a better education system, and that means not just universities, though we need to focus because that's an economic engine for the state, but K-12 and preschool.
You know, if we raise the minimum wage to $15, I'll have to fire people. Point blank, I'm telling you that people will not work here. I'll have to cut. And here's why. Because you'll get this. I work for Broadcast Corporation. They have broadcast stations outside of this state. Mm-hmm. And they ask the question, why are Miller's expenses so high when it comes to part-time labor? Because of the minimum wage here. Well, it's not that anywhere else. You're way above everybody else. You have to spend less now to be parallel with everybody else.
Well, you know,
you understand this.
You know what the best way to raise wages in this state is? Create more jobs. If you have a competition for labor, that's how you get wages up. When two companies or three or four are competing for you, Tom, or for somebody else, right, they're going to have to pay a little bit more to get you. And that's how you get wages up in this state. Nobody wants to live on a minimum wage, no matter whether it's $8.25 or $15. It's not enough to live on. Everybody wants a path to getting a real wage that they can become middle-class families and actually get what they're looking for.
I started at minimum wage, and now I'm not anymore. I'm staying in the same business. I worked up. I think other people have an expectation there, but we're quickly rolling out of time, and you and I've got more time to talk about stuff too. But before you go, the perspective that you can, and I've looked at you and I looked at your history, and what you do. One of your jobs is to look into the future. You don't have a crystal ball. You know, that's silly. The idea that you see the lay of the land, you see things changing, you see the situation, and you make plans accordingly and sell and buy accordingly. That part of your brain kind of interests me a great deal. Because when you look at the cards for the state of Illinois, just got off the phone with former Senator Dave Luchtefeld. He says, you know, as a state, we can't go broke. But, you know, at some point, $13 billion in past due bills, a pension system that is the poster child for inefficiency and just plain being behind the eight ball, a credit rating that is below many third world countries, people who are out leaving the state at record levels, in particular to Indiana, no prospect of a budget, and a long list of other items that you just include, including credit ratings for our public universities dropping. Northwestern was dropped two levels this week by Moody's Investment Services. More coming, and Standards & Poor's have just asked about SIU, and we'll hear words on them. You have your own ability to see in the future and apply to this state. What do you see?
So let's say two things. First, we've got to deal with the abyss that's sitting ahead of us of the state budget. There is no state budget. Remember, unfortunately, this governor has been unwilling to put forward a balanced budget proposal. He's got a budget. He put one forward, but then he's got a big hole in it, and he doesn't tell you how he's going to fill it, what he's going to cut, what he's going to do. So we need to be real in this state about what we're going to do and prioritize, by the way. Education's got to be near the top of that, and so does job growth, and so does wage growth. But let's also say, as you're saying, we need to look into the future, and it doesn't need to be 100 years in the future here. This is about our very youngest kids. Those are things that I've been focusing on, our very youngest kids who are going to change the trajectory in a positive way of this state, because if we provide them with the right kind of early childhood education, they become economic value to the state instead of ending up in prison or dropping out of school and not having a job and so on. Right. These kids become more productive. The research shows it. So let's acknowledge it and let's invest in those very youngest kids. And then, as you know, I've been very involved in building a technology ecosystem in the state. And we have to focus on that, too, because the good paying jobs are going to be coming in technology. And that's one area where we need to train our kids for those jobs, and then we need to make sure that we're creating those kinds of jobs in an environment in which people want to create jobs in this state in technology and in other industries, by the way. Yes, we can bring manufacturing back into the state, but remember, most of the jobs that get created, and you sort of referenced this earlier, most jobs that get created in the state are created by small businesses. Okay, so small businesses are the one, two-thirds of the jobs. So if we want to really grow this state, we got to have somebody who's helping small business people and people who have good ideas to start small businesses do it. Right. Nobody at the city level, and today nobody at the state level, is doing that. I'll do that.
And you know, the fear of the unknown stops people from doing that. The fear of the unknown, and saying, oh my God, you're going to make me pay an opportunity tax, all this stuff out here that scares the heck out of people. I know I need to let you go, but have I got time for another question? One more? Okay. Promise? All right. Something that would be a horrible financial disaster for me would be merely a nuisance for you. How can you understand me and my situation? Because that's the thing I'm looking for. You just talked about small businesses and understand how they've got to get up. Mm-hmm. That I like, right? But for other people that are out here who live in a dramatically different lifestyle than the people in Northern Illinois,
yes,
can you understand the problems we have with property taxes and the 6.25 on streaming so we can watch a TV program? Things that are merely a nuisance for you can be devastating for me, and I'm worried that you don't understand me. Can you?
I've been fighting my whole life for values that match exactly what you just described. So the things that I've tried to build and focus on are the things that have affected working class families and working poor and the most vulnerable, right? We've got to think about the things I told you that I've done in early childhood,
right?
Feeding kids in school.
Same problems you have in Chicago are here. The
exactly
nature of
right.
them and the color of them are slightly different, but it's the same business. It's dragging people out of poverty.
And so how do we do that? The best way to do that is you got to have human services in this state that truly help people stabilize their lives so they can get jobs. And then you got to have jobs for them to get.
Yes.
We got to create jobs, and we got to have competition for labor so that we're raising wages in this state. And we got to make sure our health care system stays in place, because the most devastating thing financially and otherwise that can happen to a family is somebody gets sick, and real sick. And if we don't have a way for them to be able to get the health care that they need, if we're not stepping up to the plate in that regard, you know, you're devastating families. So those are the issues that I'm focusing on.
We're going to have that problem, and you know it. And there's a reason why you brought that up, because you know what's happening with Medicaid, and we haven't made a plan, and we went all in with Obamacare under the Pat Quinn administration. And if we don't start getting some figures out of D.C. how we're going to meld that in with the non-existent budget we have, there's a huge landmine that'll blow all of our legs off collectively here, not to be too graphic horribly. But you know it, and I know it.
I'm fearful that they're going to rip apart people's medical care, their health care in Washington, because they don't really understand it. And I don't, you know, this governor doesn't understand it either. He hasn't done anything to help people.
I don't understand it, but I'm on the receiving it. I'm going to go ahead and share. I'm going to spill my guts in front of you right now. I just did my taxes last week. I paid $14,000 for health insurance this year. $14,000. Didn't use it because I can't afford to. I paid $4,956 in mortgage payments. $14,000 for health insurance, $5,000 for mortgage. That's disproportionate. You know that.
It is. Now imagine, add to that, maybe you've got kids in this age bracket, but add to that if you've got
a kid
who's going
single,
to college.
No family.
Well, there you go. So now think about what all the families are going through.
Right.
Where you want your child to go to college, you want your kid to get a great K-12 education, right? And property taxes, too high in this state. What's happened to property taxes is a direct result of the failures at state government level. We have the lowest, I mean, we are 49th and headed to 50th in state funding for education. How does that make you feel?
Tom Kondratz this morning, he is the Benton mayor. He says, we can't look to Springfield for help anymore. We have to do it ourselves. We keep sending the money while expecting no help in return. That sounds like something like extortion.
But you know, this governor's out there saying, oh, property tax freeze. That sounds great, but you can't have a property tax freeze and also hope that somehow the schools are going to stay open. You got to have it married, these things, property tax relief with the state stepping up to the plate for our kids. So we got to get that going. And remember, this is all about economics in the end. We've got to help families get ahead. We got to give them the opportunity for their kids to get ahead. That's what I'm fighting for. That's why this isn't about money. This is about values.
That's the part that I'm really curious about, because I think there's going to be some record-setting money. And the thing is, I don't want record-setting money.
No.
I want solution.
Me neither, by the way. I bet, you know, listen, I've been supporting candidates, but here's the thing that matters to me. Over the years, I've supported candidates who couldn't otherwise afford to run, right? Because I wanted people who shared my values, and I still do. But I'm running in this race because I believe that my values are the values of the majority of people in the state of Illinois, that I will fight for the working families in the state and for working poor and people who just want a helping hand to get ahead.
I have really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, Tom.
You're going to make a trip down so we can talk again more often. I'm good on the phone, too, my friend.
I'll be here as often as you'll have me.
Because we keep saying this is fighting for the future of the state. We're actually, right now, we're fighting for who's going to be the lifesaver, who's going to throw the ring out there, and how we're going to cling on to it and get out. And if you don't talk to anybody at SIU, and I don't think that analogy will be too far off. I kept you longer than I was supposed to. I want to apologize for that.
Don't apologize. This is an important topic.
It is an important topic. And the fact is, I still am struggling with someone of your level of magnitude, intelligence, and opportunity choosing to say, I want to be the captain of the Titanic.
It's not the Titanic. This state, we have a way out. We really do. You need some leadership, though. You can't stand with an agenda that has nothing to do with the budget and hold the entire state hostage to it. That's what this governor's done. He's got an agenda that has nothing to do with helping working families and everything to do with some agenda that's been handed to him by people outside the state. And to the extent that he's said, oh, he's self-funding, guess what? He's not. He's accepted tens of millions of dollars from the Koch Brothers Network. So this is a guy who stands for an agenda that isn't an Illinois-based agenda.
Can we talk about your appearances today and where you're going to be? Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Is that all right? Because I understand you've got 11 o'clock appearance in Carterville. Actually, I think it's Craneville, technically. TLC Learning Center at 11 o'clock, which was interesting because you were talking about, I'm interested about kids, and here you are, the first thing that you visit in my home is TLC Learning Center. It's just like you can yell out the back door and they can hear you.
Yep, exactly. And I want you to know, I mean, I'm visiting the human services and social service agencies around the state to highlight the fact that they are falling apart because there's no budget in this state.
Women's Center Carbondale on the list?
I'm going to read, not yet, but I'll be back. I've been to, just so you know, both the Illinois Council Against Domestic Violence and ICASA, which is focused on sexual abuse. You know, I have spent a lot of time with those folks and visited their centers. I'll be back here. This is not the last time that you'll see me, not only in person, but I'll be around town. I want people to know me. It is important for me to get to know the people of this city and this county.
And I want to give you every opportunity to meet our friends, too.
Thank you.
So I'm looking forward to developing a friendship and rapport where you and I can actually get into some of this stuff without you thinking I'm a smartass.
I don't, Tom. You're a great guy.
It's just that at this point, we've come to the point where you can smell the desperation, and we're there.
Yeah, this state is falling apart, and this governor has put us there.
853, J.B. Pritzker, Democratic candidate for governor. Thanks again, sir.
Thanks, Tom.